This is a kind of one-off sermon. I think I might have preached on here about this maybe a year or two ago, but I think it's very important for it to come back to us again, because it's one of the great characteristics of the Christian life. I've written out a series of what forgiveness is not on an A4 sheet at the back. If you'd like to take a sheet on the way out, please feel free to take one. If they run out, then please just contact me and I can send you one. So one of the greatest qualities in the Christian life is the capacity to forgive. That's not to say that this is easy and can be done immediately. We all have stories about the difficulty of forgiving someone who has wronged us, perhaps particularly if they have no idea that they've hurt us, or they're indifferent, or perhaps they actually enjoyed the fact that they've done that. We go over in our minds about the small things that have challenged our sense of forgiveness, and they're dwarfed by what we read in the papers and in media. Think of those like Gordon Wilson, whose grandchild was killed many years ago by a terrorist bomb in Northern Ireland, who said that he forgave her attackers. Corrie ten Boom, we're going to see and hear from her in a few minutes. And Desmond Tutu, I gave Anna her book back today, which is probably very good timing. And he brought about the Truth and Reconciliation Committee in South Africa. But his book on forgiveness is great. I recommend it to you. Hard read, but he has been through it. So Jesus taught his disciples, that then includes us as his disciples, to ask God to forgive our sins. So before we pray the petition, we must therefore have a sense of sin, our own sins. I've known people that have said, well, I never sin. Sometimes I mess up a bit, but I never sin. So what is sin? Maybe in your mind it means somebody who's a thief or a murderer, or perhaps even worse than that. And Jesus uses the word here, which means debt, which is why you get the different translations, which is a failure to pay what is due. If you don't pay your council tax that's due for 2 or 3 months, you'll have somebody come knocking on your door. Have we perfectly fulfilled our debt to God and to others? Of course not. That is like an impossibility. So we're to ask God for forgiveness. As just like an arrow failing to hit the target, in many ways and on many occasions, we fall short. I fall short, you fall short. That is the reality of it. So we accept that we have sinned. So now we reach the scarier part. What this in effect says in the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our sins in proportion to how we forgive those who have sinned against us. This is the only petition in the Lord's Prayer that we said this morning with a clause attached. It doesn't say, for instance, previously, give us this day our daily bread if we work for it. Just give us this day our daily bread. So why is God's forgiveness made on condition and in proportion to our forgiving others? Why it seems to be that if we refuse to forgive others, God refuses to forgive us, according to Jesus. I'm sure that many of us have heard or maybe have actually uttered the words, I will never forgive so-and-so for what they did to me. And we know, don't we, that being a Christian is really hard work. This is one of those times that it's really hard work. We cannot remain obdurate in our sense of victimhood and proudly denounce our fellow human. No, human forgiveness and divine forgiveness are inextricably entwined. Resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. So, again, reminder, I'm not saying it's easy to forgive. It can be extremely hard. But there are many believers who find, I think, the supernatural ability to forgive. So firstly, it's not easy to forgive. It takes an act of will and may well take struggle and emotional upheaval to get to the point of forgiving someone who may have committed horrible things against us. Constantly, when I meet with individuals here in my previous churches, the need to forgive is voiced, and the terrible difficulty of it. Could I have the next slide, which I think is a video. So this is Corrie ten Boom talking about her experience. So just watch this for a moment.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, "Ah, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me?" And suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel overseers in concentration camp. And that man said, "I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom, will you forgive me?" And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I saw, when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5, and thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, "Brother, give me your hand." And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
So there we see that obviously Corrie ten Boom suffered. She suffered in a concentration camp because she had sheltered Jewish people during the World War II, and her sister had died in the concentration camp. She had survived, and then she met with one of the perpetrators of the wickedness against her. So we see there both the will that she had, the recognition that she couldn't be forgiven unless she forgave, but also the supernatural strength that was given to her to recognize that she needed to forgive, and helped her to actually forgive. So we need to forgive. Now, what is forgiveness? I want to just spend a few minutes correcting kind of the ideas that we have about forgiveness. So these are things that forgiveness is not. First of all, approving or diminishing wrongdoing. So when somebody has perpetrated an act against you, you have been wronged. Somebody has taken advantage, and that is wrong. Secondly, forgiveness is not enabling wrongdoing. We don't actively work towards confrontation and forgiveness, then we help prolong the abuse. Thirdly, forgiveness is not denying a wrongdoing. You can't say, "Oh, it didn't happen, I forget all about it, I just moved on, I pretended like it never happened, I didn't let it affect me." That's not true. It's not the denial of a wrongdoing. Forgiveness is not denying that you were sinned against. And then forgiveness is not waiting until you get an apology, I'm afraid. Some people will say, understandably, I'll forgive them as soon as they say they're sorry. But some people are just never going to apologise, either because they don't care or that they haven't realised their offence. Forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. Forgiveness is not forgetting, then. This is one of the great Christian myths. Well, we forgive and forget. No, we don't. You can't forgive and forget. You can't forget it. It's impossible. I have lovely people coming to see me who are still experiencing pain many years after the event. Just want to talk to you for a minute about this lovely 90-year-old lady at my previous church. Her name was Margaret. And she had what was probably an institutional thing done against her. So she got pregnant, she had her child, but the child died in childbirth. And so it was the custom those days to just get rid of the child and say to the person, you've just got to carry on. This was 60, 70 years ago this happened to her. And all the time since that experience, when she was just told, go home, you've just got to carry on with your life, you've got to forget that this pregnancy ever happened, that for 60 or 70 years she was experiencing pain and suffering about it. So we talked about it. She got in touch with the hospital. Amazingly, there was somebody there who was an archivist, and he found out where the baby was buried. And so her and her family went and celebrated the very, very short life of that child. So forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not ceasing to feel the pain. Just because it hurts doesn't mean that we failed to forgive. It still hurts. Some people have had horrible things to them, done to them, horrible things. Be so cruel to say, well, if you've forgiven them, it shouldn't hurt anymore. Well, it does. And then forgiveness is not a one-time event. It's not like you forgive somebody and it's over, you move on. Sometimes, I'm afraid, they keep sinning, so you need to keep forgiving. Or sometimes you forgive them, but there are emotional moments when it feels fresh. Jesus, I'm afraid, stated that we should be prepared to forgive someone 490 times. And forgiveness, very important, is not neglecting justice. You can forgive somebody and you can call the police and have them arrested. You can forgive someone and testify against them in court. They might say, I thought you forgave me. Well, I do, I forgive you, but you've committed a crime. You've broken the law, and so there are consequences. I had, when we were in the shop, one morning, a young man came in very early, about 5:30 in the morning. He had a knife in his hand, and he wanted cigarettes. So I gave him the cigarettes, he left. But obviously, after that, I called the police. He'd been to various shops in the same way and demanded things. And so eventually he was taken to court. So for me, it was a process of understanding that I had to forgive him. It wasn't possible for me not to forgive him, but also that at some point I'd have to stand in court and speak against him, against what he did. So ninthly, forgiveness is not trusting. Trust is built slowly and it's lost quickly. Trust may take a long time, if ever, to be restored. And forgiveness is not reconciliation. It's not that you're friends again, everything's okay, you're close and it's all back to normal. Not at all. It takes one person to repent, takes one person to forgive, it takes two people to reconcile. So if those are the things that it's not, and the sheets are at the back with those things on, forgiveness isn't something we do for others. We do it for ourselves so we can get well and move on. So three things are vital for that to happen. Firstly, we must learn to understand. We must seek actively to find out about those who caused us harm. Are they worried or in pain? Are they victims themselves? Or perhaps they find it hard to get on with others generally. We should seek to understand before we allow ourselves to condemn. If we can, then we should pray regularly for them. Secondly, we must learn to be the bigger person, I'm afraid, to recognise the supreme call to forgive on our lives, to recognise as well that lack of forgiveness leads to bitterness and that will destroy us. It's almost like I had this picture in my head of a kind of soul-wrecking microwave that burns us from the inside out. You can see people that have not forgiven, and over the years, it destroys you. And thirdly, we have to learn to love even the really unlovable. True Christian love seeks only the highest good for others, no matter what they do or say to us. Jesus' words on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." So you may be saying to yourself, and I understand that, yes, I know that this is all true and I've heard it all before, but it won't stop my feelings. And I was so wounded by this person, and it's so unfair if they're allowed to get away with it. So we're back to that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, with a clause attached. One that we accept whenever we recite it, nearly every Sunday here at church. So we have to know that this is a command that comes from Jesus Christ, the one whom we owe everything to, the one to whom we have professed lifelong obedience. So we begin there with the understanding of where we must get to. But how do we get there? As always, we start in prayer. Prayer for ourselves, prayer for the one who has perpetrated the act, prayer for strength to forgive, prayer for God to intervene, prayer for God to give us deeper understanding of that person, prayer to help us to love them, prayer for a solution. We cannot demand justice from the God who was killed in innocence. We cannot think that we are more important than the Son of God. So firstly, forgiveness is an act of the will and can function regardless of the temperature of the human heart. Just like Jesus' death on the cross, we don't know how God will use what we have been through to bring glory to him and to enable the spread of the gospel. We are his servants. So this is from Corrie ten Boom. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It's a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. We are called to be like Jesus. I know that's impossible, but we have the Holy Spirit within us to help us. We are called to forgive as he forgave, to ask for supernatural power to forgive when it's not humanly possible. And obviously, feel free to talk to me, contact me, whatever, if you want to talk about this. It's an ongoing challenge for us all. I get that. It's not like it's going to be easy, but this is the challenge, one of the great challenges of Christianity. Amen. We're going to sing now, we're going to remain seated for this, Purify My Heart.